Rav Yossi David,
fine.
Monday night, Lel Shishi,
it's not ideal,
Shabbos project.
But if another way to they say it's
Zmani, Shabbos.
If you need be, you can condition your candle writings that you should not accept Shabbat straight away, but you should know from the simple explanation of the Ran in the Baal Halachot Gdolot, condition doesn't play a game. Shulchan Aruch brings this further opinion that you can condition your lighting. That may not be going with the reasoning of the Baal Halachot Gdolot, because otherwise Baal Halachot Gdolot will tell you, light Shabbat candles, condition, and then light your Hanukkah candles. It doesn't say that. So the condition we rely on is only in extreme situations. When we must, we live far, we have to travel by car. Preferably, in first instance, women should not condition the candle lighting. They should accept Shabbat as they have to be yotzeh to fulfill the requirement of the Baal Halachot Gdolot. It's if they need to, it's mikveh, or they need to go to travel to a Bet HaKnesset, they need to do other things. Only then, in Shat HaDchak, they should condition the lighting. Yeah?
No, why in those is how to condition the lighting, like if nowadays, if you condition the lighting, you need it at a certain point,
yeah.
That's your deadline, like we say in Boi Kala, Shabbat Konfetal, and it's quite a new thing, it's like 300 years old, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do then? What
no,
did they have then?
The Lechad Odi, the piyut of Lechad Odi, was a Bishlom El Kavetz.
Yeah, but it was like about 300 years
ago. Yeah, but Shulchan Aruch says, Vizmor Shiri Yom HaShabbat or Baruch Hu. The Chazan says Baruch Hu.
But Baruch Hu is for Laila Vadaim.
No, that's for us. We, stranger, bring you that in earlier generations, no shul would start after nightfall. They would make sure they're home already before darkness. They wouldn't walk in the streets at night.
So they would bring Shabbat
at night
because of the darkness.
Darkness. The Tumat Hadeshin says, very strange, Tumat Hadeshin says, that they used to go to shul, accept Shabbat, come back home, have the meal, and go for a stroll, and it was still daylight. We'll see how to settle that with the opinions of Rabbi
Lutan. How does it work in 87? Black don't cast a shock.
Good question. So they said to me, it was in European countries, yeah? But the idea was, they wouldn't wait for night time to pray. So they pray earlier. Nowadays, you're right, you make Baruch Hu, it's already dark. So we can't accept Shabbat Baruch Hu. Foolish would be if people would wait. Even our Lechad Odi, sometimes we go over to Shkia, and we have missed the mitzvah of the seventh Shabbat. If there's an obligation to accept additional minutes to Shabbat, we should make sure always that we know the time of sunset, because we want to have addition to our Shabbat, to Sefer Shabbat.
Rabbi, is there also to Sefer Shabbat where they're lighting the candles early?
Yeah.
In those days, candles were their lights, but they wouldn't light it till the last minute to save the candle. So on a normal day, they would light the candle when it got dark to give them light.
Yeah.
So by lighting Shabbat candles that much earlier, which is not normal, because you'd wait till dark, that's also adding on to the showing
that you're showing candles. No, they didn't have candles
that oil. Or oil or candles.
Yeah, so I mean, what, how are you showing that? I don't
understand. By saying you're
having a problem showing, the question is that I could accept Shabbat early. We'll make sure I accept Shabbat early. Yeah? So that's it to Sefer Shabbat, which we're talking about. Yeah? Now, going back, I think we can start, no? Start the shiur. Ready? Okay. Anyway. So I made you read the Gemara in Shabbat, which talks about the wife of Rabbi Yosef. And he warned her not to light too early and not too late. People are all aware about not lighting too late because of Safek Chilul Shabbat, but not aware of the restriction of lighting too early as well before Plag Mincha. So now we're coming to winter. The bigger worry is to get into Shkia. So you have to make sure we light early. Now, you should know, the Rambam in Halachot, very strangely, does not bring the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbat in Ilchot Shabbat. It's not mentioned in the Rambam in Ilchot Shabbat that you must accept Shabbat additional time before sunset. Doesn't say that. Yeah? Gives us not to do melacha after sunset. He says that quite clear, but he doesn't say that we should be careful to accept Shabbat additional minutes. We'll soon see whether it's minutes. I'll give you already a minute. I looked very hard to see what's the amount we must add on to our Shabbat if we hold that we have to add on. Do you know what's the amount? It doesn't say in the poskim. The Shulchan Aruch says, ezezman, sometime. It doesn't say clearly in the poskim. I found the Shita Mekubetzet. I like Tosa. Tosa says, mashu. Few minutes. Not seconds, a few minutes. Yeah? That's already cool. I've added on a few minutes. Let's see, sunset is at 20 past 6. I accepted Shabbat at 6:15. 5 minutes, sufficient. There is a shita mekubetzet, which means in the name of one of the balat hashot, it should be half an hour. That's a significant amount for additional. Less than half an hour, it's not. That's not called additional. In halacha, it's not both that opinion. But I'm just giving you an idea. And you should know, here in England, the time of candle lighting on the calendars is 15 minutes before sunset. So when your wife asks you, what time should you light candles? Don't tell them sunset time, because they'll wait until sunset to light. Yeah, like Rabbi Yosef's wife. Yeah, because they're very makpid that there should be no Tzvichot Shabbat, so they want to do it just before. Tell them the calendar time, because they want to fulfill the requirement of additional minutes to Shabbat. In Israel, in the calendars, it's 20 minutes, and in the Yerushalayim, they add on 40 minutes, up to 40 minutes. Perhaps this was the half an hour which you wanted to cover. We'll soon discuss that. Anyway, the Rambam does not bring the halakha of additional minutes. The Rambam was one of the great poskim. How come he ignored totally? Seems to be from the Rambam, and so does the Magid Mishnah. It was one of the early commentaries, yeah, of the Rambam. He writes that the Magid Mishnah writes, the Rambam seems to hold that our Gemara, which says in Yuma, that you have to accept additional to Yom Kippur, it's a halakha only by Yom Kippur. And it's in regards not of not doing work, of refraining from eating and drinking. That's what the Pasuk is referring to. So Rambam seems to hold the only obligation to add on additional to you, it's only to Yom Kippur, from if you have to stop eating, that's why you all stop eating before. We come to Kol Nidre already before sunset. Yeah? We stop eating beforehand. That's what the Rambam holds like that. But says the Magid Mishneh, we don't know, we're not sure who wrote the Sefer, yeah? We're not sure. Then now they did find out. They seem to know who wrote it. Where it was an early commentary in the Rambam. He writes that the Rif, Rav Alfasi, who seems to be the Rebbe of the Rambam, yeah? Or the Rebbe's Rebbe of the Rambam, according to some. The Rambam was very young when the Rif died. The Rambam was plus minus Rashi's generation, yeah? He writes, the Rif clearly brings the obligation of accepting additional minutes to Shabbat, even on Shabbat and in Yom Tov, not only in Yom Kippur. So the Rif holds like that, the Rabbeinu Asher, which is Rosh, holds like that, and the Rambam is the only opinion which holds that there's no obligation on a Shabbat and on Yom Tov. The Radvaz, Rabbi David ben Zimra, who lived, was a bit older than the Bet Yosef, Yosef Karo, 600 years ago about, he writes, the rabbi in Egypt, the Radvaz writes clearly, they asked him this question on the Rambam, and he says, Mapitom, the Rambam definitely holds you have to add on additional. It's only because the Gemara bought the Pasuk on Yom Kippur that the Rambam decided to bring the Salacha only by Yom Kippur. But it's Pshita, Pashut, if Yom Kippur, which is a restriction of eating and drinking, is karet. Shabbat is skila. There's a higher punishment for Shabbat. I think in our closed doors we shouldn't hide the fact that Shabbat is a chiyuv skila. I know we're trying to market Shabbat as something very enjoyful and all. You should know, chilul Shabbat is quite severe. Yes, with a chiyuv skila. Skila, according to some opinions in the Gemara, is the most severe punishment Beit Din can give. More than Yom Kippur. By the way, I want to tell you something I heard from one of the Gdolim, that the reason why people are very particular, why so many not-religious people keep Yom Kippur, yet Shabbat, which is so stringent, unfortunately, majority of Am Yisrael are not keeping Shabbat. So he says, I'll tell you, the answer is quite simple. And this brings us to the preface of the Hakdama of the Mishnah Berurah. Because we, us, from people who are aware of Shabbat and Yom Kippur. When it comes to Yom Kippur, we're so particular in our halachot that it influences even the outside world, and they also want to keep. But on Shabbat, since the halachot is so many, we get it every week, we're not so particular in Chol Shabbat, So we can't influence others. So we ourselves, we can't influence so many people to start keeping Shabbat. If we will strengthen ourselves, like on Yom Kippur, you know, you talk to people, you want to dream of speaking Lashon Hara on Yom Kippur? Whoa, it's Yom Kippur, how can you talk? Any suspect of putting your finger in the water, eating, swallowing your saliva, say that, okay, that's okay. We're so particular to eat and drink, we're so particular to Lachot of Yom Kippur, to keep Yom Kippur so well, that it influences the Am Yisrael outside. Like Yisrael Salanti says, we're all one unit. If we elevate ourselves, we elevate everybody else with us. So in Yom Kippur, we are so particular, that automatically we're elevating other Jews with us. So even the furthest away Jew comes to the synagogue, comes to the Knesset, comes to the shul on Yom Kippur. Why? Because so in Shabbat, we keep Shabbat like this. Yeah, half-half, yeah, borel, dash, otza'ah, yeah, rely on this opinion, rely on that opinion, kilo kulot here, kulot there, talk dibur chol. So automatically our Shabbat is not so holy that we can't influence automatically people outside. No? Then Rabbi Yisrael Salanti said, when a yeshiva student closes his gemara in yeshiva, then a Jewish student in a university in France takes his kippah off. No, he takes his kippah off. It's not a joke. Yeah, that's what the Mishnah says. You bring the whole world down with you, bring the whole world up with you. We're all one unit, Am Yisrael. So anyway, let's go on to the inyan of Tosefta Shabbat. So the Rambam, the Radvaz wants to say, not at all. Even the Rambam agrees. He just bought the halacha by Yom Kippur because the Pasuk was talking about Yom Kippur. But really, anyway, whether it's Shabbaton or Shabbat, Yom Tov Shabbat, you have to add on to, from the Torah, you have to add on to use Shabbat. Because Shabbat is much more chamor, stringent than Yom Kippur. So if Yom Kippur you have to give additional minutes, so too for every Shabbat you have to give additional time to accept Tosefet Shabbat. Convinced or not convinced? Biur Halacha and Mishnah Berurah didn't bring this Radvaz. It's brought in the Chida. It's quite an interesting, powerful Radvaz. We have a Rishon, the end of Rishonim, explaining the Rambam, not like the Magid Mishnah. He tries to answer the Magid Mishnah, but let's leave that subject aside. Yeah?
Rabbi, since the three opinions in the Gemara, when the day begins.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and obviously in the time of the Rishonim and all that was no clut.
You too much Rabbeinu Tam.
No, I'm saying general. How did you from what time to accept? Because the second Safek Hashanah.
Oh, when it's Safek Hashanah, exactly.
So how?
Not only that.
Time they added the measure.
We've got early start tomorrow.
So according to
what
time? According to what time they added the measure?
Hope so.
Huh? According to what opinion in the Gemara did they add the measure because they were not sure about when the day comes in?
Okay, very good. Now, Sani is asking a good question. Tosefet Shabbat, this mitzvah Tosefet Shabbat, yeah, how are we supposed to add on? When do we know? Well, sunset is quite clear when sunset. Well, what about if it's cloudy? So Shulchan Aruch covered that. It's a Gemara in Shabbat. Yeah, you should accept Shabbat when Hashemesh Berosh HaIlanot. Yeah? And what do you do with Yom HaMeunan? So Shulchan Aruch brings when the chickens, yeah, sit down.
But they had a clear time of when, like, you know, today we'll say 5 o'clock, for example.
See what it says, Resa Mechalef. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Mi she'eno baki b'shiur zeh, someone who's not fluent, not expert, and when exactly, yadlik b'od she'ashemesh b'rosh ha'ilanot, because he wants to wake clear of Tosefet, he wants to add on. So when you see the sun on trees, you have to know what that means exactly, yeah? If it's a cloudy day, yadlik shater negolim yoshvim al hakora b'od yom. Apparently there's a time when the chickens, the roosters, is it confirmed? The roosters? Tarnegolim? Tarnegolot. Ah, yeah? So it's near sunset.
Yeah.
Ve'imu ba... Is it Rabbeinu Tam or Rabbeinu Tam? Before Rabbeinu Tam.
Before.
Let's see. Tell me, Rabbeinu Tam kashim et tarnegolim.
It's your chickens.
Lefi ha'avana hazot. I've got a different explanation of Rabbeinu Tam. I'm going to warn you now. Ve'imu basadeh, and if you've got no roosters, yadlik sha'ovim, and the ravens sit and rest before, I don't know what time that is. Anyway. So, based on this, they're giving you timings, what to do on a cloudy day, in order to cover also the Sefer Shabbat. Now, when we accept Shabbat, how are we supposed to accept Shabbat? Can we just think it, or must we say it as well? Is it a mitzvah to bring out and how to fulfill the requirement of the Sefer Shabbat? When is it called I accept Shabbat? I've got to declare it, Bo'i Kala, Mizmor Shinim HaShabbat. Or let's say, before I'm praying, I want to pray later, I want to daven later. Can I think I'm accepting Tosefet Shabbat? Is it sufficient to think l'machshava? So for this, you should know that on Ilchot Tisha B'Av, in Ilchot Yom Kippur, Siman Tav Kuf Nun Gimel in Shulchan Aruch, Tav Resh Chet in Ilchot Yom Kippur, the Rama twice writes this halacha. Kabbalah Balev Lo Shmei Kabbalah. Accepting in your heart, in your mind, it's not enough. It's not considered you've accepted. What's the Rama talking about? Someone finished to eat, so that I'm upset. You finished eating your meal. You benched. Maybe katamazon. Can you eat and drink after that? Must you condition? Says the Rama. If you had in mind to finish off, something says, if you did not say you're accepting, Kabbalah balei vena Kabbalah. So we learn from that, that it's all got to do with what your family say. If additional Yom Kippur...
To say to yourself?
To yourself, obviously, yeah.
No, because Kippur and Shmuel Esri should be mechaven to become Shabbos.
By Shechian. The Shechian was making
shoot. By Shabbos, because you don't do Kiddush.
Ah, there, Yom Kippur, we go different. When do we accept on Yom Kippur? So the ladies light can, doesn't come to shul, yeah? It's only a minute. Huh? We come, we say Shechianu in shul. But the problem is, the Shechianu in Yom Kippur, after Kol Nidre, it said after Kol Nidre. Kol Nidre, I haven't heard of a shul which manages to finish Kol Nidre
before
Shkiah. And only then they say Shechianu. So if you're accepting Yom Kippur by Shechianu, it's well in. You haven't done to Sefet Yom Kippur. So you have to make sure, you have to make sure you say that you're accepting Tosefet beforehand.
The Kaddish HaShabbos is instead of Kiddush.
Yeah, the Davni. When Kaddish HaShabbos, we start...
That's not Tosefet of Shabbos.
That's not Tosefet. You haven't your loss. So Tosefet, you have to verbally say something. Now, seems to be from the Rama, in the heart is nothing. Yeah? You have to say verbally. Listen to the Pri Chadash says. Now, the Shulchan Aruch didn't view his opinion. Yeah? And you know what, by Ilchot Tzedakah, there's an argument between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama. If you think in your mind to give charity, are you obliged to do? Beficha zu tzedakah, it says, yeah? The Gemara says quite clear, if you said you're going to give tzedakah, even if you didn't take it as an oath, you just said it, beficha zu tzedakah, you're obliged to bring. What about if you just think, I'm going to give a certain amount? It happens at the bidding. People think, and then someone outbidded you. But you wanted to give that amount to Shabbat, but then you wanted to give it in order to get something in reward, just like a purchase. I'm not saying, let's not get rid of punch, how can you even Shabbat? No, mass media give me for charity. You think, make sure. I'm not trying to discourage people from bidding, yeah? But if you're thinking to give something, according to the Rama, according to the Ashkenazim, who follow the Rama, if you just thought in your mind, it's sufficient. Which doesn't go well with the Rama in Hilchot Yom Kippur, which says, Kabbalah, Balev, Lo Shmei Kabbalah. Interesting, that is a side issue.
Another question. Yeah. Let's say, for example, a person says on the bidding, yeah? Because yeah. I was thinking about this actually, yeah. on this Yom Kippur. Let's say someone says £2,000, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then he tells his friend, listen, you know what, me and you will share it for £3,000. That means to say he's going to now give £1,500 or £2,000. Did he do that?
So tell him, if he said £2,000, he has to give a full £2,000.
So he still have to give the 2,000, he still have to give the 1,000.
But at the bidding is different. At the bidding is different for a simple reason that when you bid, you're only giving it on condition in your mind that you'll get the purchase. You'll get the Aliyah or the Sefer Torah. Yeah? Otherwise, you're not. But be careful, yeah? Say, have in mind that. Anyway, the Pri Chadash comes with the Chidush, in Likutim, not in the back. Pri Chadash of Chizkiyahu Disilo. He was the rabbi. The rabbi, I think it's the rabbi of the Rechaim HaKadosh. No? Oh no, the Chiddah was a student of the Rechaim HaKadosh, Pri Chadash plus minus in his generation. They both wrote a commentary on Yoreh Deah, Pri Toav, yeah, and Pri Chadash. Pri Chadash also, he wrote on Orach Chaim. We don't have his full Orach Chaim. We've got Likutim also. And in Tav Kuf Nun Gimel, the Pri Chadash gives an interesting differentiation. He says, if there's an obligation to add on to you your Shabbat from the Torah, or to add on to Yom Kippur, then it's sufficient to accept it in your mind. You don't have to explicitly say it. Your thoughts, together with the obligation which the Torah gives you, that makes your thoughts important, and you don't have to explicitly say it. But in Ilchot Tisha B'Av, there's no obligation to add on to you Tisha B'Av. So that's why there, you have to explicitly say it. Thoughts are not sufficient. So, according to him, seems to be that you can have Kabbalah Shabbat b'machshava. Now, how much does it cost to say it explicitly? How much does it cost to say it explicitly? It doesn't cost too much. So it's better off if people say it explicitly than just think about it.
You can change. If you think okay. about it, something happens. Yeah. You attempted to...
No. If you want to do the mitzvah properly, then you must do it by explicitly saying, Areni mekabel alai tosefet Shabbat. You mekabel tosefet Shabbat. Make sure you do it early enough. Yeah? The more time you give to it, the better. Now, we're coming to winter, you have to make sure, because you're getting into Safek Hashecha, Twaibah. Now, this is what I warn people about. The famous opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, I think I must mention it as well. Yeah, when I get an opportunity to mention it, is the famous Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah? The Shita of Rabbeinu Tam, which you have to know when it comes to Erev Shabbat, to Adlakat Nerot Shabbat, we must never be lenient like Rabbeinu Tam. If a person wants to be stringent when coming out of Shabbat to be machmir like Rabbeinu Tam, that's fine. He may do so. Yeah? It's good. Chumrah. But to accept Shabbat Lekula like Rabbeinu Tam, you should know that the moment for generations, and so does the Vilna Gaon clarify this from Gemarot, that Halacha is like the Geonim, that as soon as the sun gets hidden from the horizon, yeah, it's Safek Hashech, it's Ben Hashmashot. So you have to make sure that you've lit candles early enough. Here in England, it gets very early. You have to make sure that we do that early enough. Yeah? And yes, there's a mitzvah to add on, the more you can on Tosefet Shabbat. I'll explain to you just one thing. Rabbeinu Tam came to his opinion out of contradiction from a Gemara in Shabbat to a Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Shabbat says that the time of twilight is 13 and a half minutes. Cutting short, without looking at the right side, yeah? 13 and a half minutes is the time of twilight, when it's not day and not night. 13 and a half minutes. The Gemara in Pesachim says that twilight, no, it didn't say twilight, it says from Shkia, from sunset to stars coming out, it's 72 minutes. Yeah? 72 minutes you got from Shkia. Contradiction. One place you're telling me 13 and a half minutes. One place is saying 72 minutes. So what do we do? So Rabbeinu Tam raised this issue. How can we go? So comes Rabbeinu Tam with an answer. There are two sunsets. The truth is, I'm not reading Rabbeinu Tam inside. But if you read Rabbeinu Tam inside, he never says there are two shkiot. He says there is the beginning and the end. But let's take it the way the majority of people understood. There are two sunsets. One sunset, then 72 minutes after. But before those 72 minutes complete, there's another sunset. 13 and a half minutes before that. Basically 58 and a half minutes after the sunset. There's another sunset. And that's the second sunset, which the Gemara in Shabbat is talking about. So there's no contradiction. There are two different sunsets. The problem is, Rabbeinu Tam never explained, when are these sunsets? I only know one sunset. So what do? We're in trouble. So many understood Rabbeinu Tam as saying that when the sun disappears from the horizon, that's the first sunset. And the stars will come out 72 minutes after that. 13 and a half minutes before that, there's a second sunset, which based on this idea, you can never see the sunset, can you? It's something which disappears, a light or something, that means it's a second sunset, and that's the second sunset, that's the Shkia Shnia, which Gemara and Shabbat talks about. Very hard. The great Maharam Elaska, yeah, who lived in Spain, he experienced the expulsion, he went through Turkey, I think, and then they brought him over to Egypt, the Radvaz, brought him over to be in Egypt as a Dayan. Maram Alaska, his name was. Al Askar. Yeah? And he argued with Rabbeinu Tam very sharply, to the extent that he said on Rabbeinu Tam, he forgot clear Gmarot. How can he come up with such an idea that there's another 72 minutes after our sunset? Very sharply. He says, Ta'abidva Mishnah. He says, just because you've got a contradiction in Tugmarot, you can't make up new sunsets. You can't make up new things. And he argues in Halacha with Rabbeinu Tam. Because he was so sharp against Rabbeinu Tam, we can't stay still and not act and try and find an answer to Rabbeinu Tam. How can he? Okay, I'll tell you briefly what this answer is. And I came across it while I was learning in Hilchot Shabbat. The Shulchan Aruch, Yosef Karo, who lived a bit after Maram Alaska, a bit younger than him, he never ever mentions an argument about the sunset business. He only brings a Venutam. How come? Don't you know that the Sfaradim are the custom for generations like Maram Alaska, like the Geonim, that as soon as the sun sets, 13 and a half minutes after that, the stars come out? How come he didn't mention it at all? So, the answer to listen to this, I came across it. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Siman Resh Samach Aleph. Zman Tosefet. Yesh Omrim Shetzarich Leosif Mechol Al HaKodesh. Yeah? Siman Resh Samach Aleph Sif Bet. Some say you have to add on from Chol to Kodesh. So, based on the argument we read before, the Rambam and the Rosh, we understand why the Shulchan Aruch says Yesh Omrim. Because Rambam holds you don't have to add on to your Shabbat on Yom Kippur. So they did not like the advice. Uzman Tosefet Zeh. When must I add on this additional? Mitchilat Ashkia, from the beginning of sunset, She'en HaShemesh Nir'et Al Ha'aretz Ad Zman Ben Hashmashot. When the sun is not seen on the ground until twilight, which is 58 and a half minutes of the Shulchan Aruch. That's the time I've got to add on to my Shabbat. Any amount of time within that period of time, once 58 and a half minutes from the sun is not seen on the ground, it's already twilight. You must have already accepted Shabbat. Now, the interesting language here, En HaShemesh Nireit Al Haaretz, raised the question, what's En HaShemesh Nireit Al Haaretz? It should say En HaShemesh Nireit. What's Al Haaretz? What's on the ground? Says the Olat Shabbat, or the commentary on the Shulchan Aruch, who lived about 350 years ago plus, and the Magen Avraham quotes him. Says the Olat Shabbat, She'en HaShemesh Nir'et Bekocho, in its strength. That means the sun is there. The ball of the sun is there. And that's raised, maybe there's a different interpretation to Rabbeinu Tam. Maybe when he said there's two sunsets, he didn't refer to a sunset after our sunset. He referred to the first sunset as 58 and a half minutes before our sunset. I thought, I looked up books, and I want to tell you, this what I'm saying now is mentioned in a few other chronim. But it's only a minority, so therefore, carry on following the mainstream, yeah, when it comes to Motzei Shabbat. But the Meiri, Meiri was a commentary which we didn't have around us for years, and it was manuscripts were found and they reprinted it. And the Meiri was one of the end time of the Rishonim. The Meiri writes, I will read you the Lashon of the Meiri. Yeah? Not this one. Another one. Anyway, the Meiri says, no, it's another one. Yes, Chaza? The Meiri writes, okay, let's try and finish on time, yeah? Because you have to follow the Torah way it's read. Yes. Text is gone. The Meiri writes as follows. I was so happy to find this Meiri because this already tells me that there are Rishonim interpreting Rabbeinu Tam differently. And if there's Rishonim interpreting, I can argue with the Maram Alaska. Why were you so harsh on the Rabbeinu Tam? Perhaps it didn't mean what you thought he meant. You're the first one who wrote that Rabbeinu Tam meant that. Rabbeinu Tam didn't write that clearly. We'll soon see. Says the Meiri, I read it out to you.
Uma she'amru bepsachim mishkiyat hachamatz et hakochavim 4 mil, basically 72 minutes, because every mil is 18 minutes, 18 times 4 is 72. Pirusha mitchilat shkiyata. I'm reading now words of Rishon, word by word. Mitchilat shkiyata. Now translate the word mitchilat shkiyata. The beginning of sunset. Keshematchelet likanes, vehi nirit adain meat meat עד שתיכנס כולה. You can see it slowly, slowly, until it totally disappears. So I mean, according to the Meiri, the Gemara Pesachim, which says 72 minutes, is talking about when the start starts finding a parking slot, starts making his way, weakening itself. I mean, the Olat Shabbat says, when it got no more strength. So sometimes you can see the ball of the sun entirely, but the sun has no strength, doesn't give any rays on the ground.
But there's still light.
There's still light. There's still light. But there's no light when I'm standing on the ground. En Hashemesh niret al ha'aretz. It's such a strange
pshat to say. Sorry. What? The situation, my brother said to me, for a life of me, he could not understand Rabbi Lutam. So once he came...
I promised him I'm going to tell him this one. I never go around.
Once he came to me, to my flat in Israel, I'll be a second. Mm. He said, only now he could understand Rabbi Lutam. Why? He says, En Hashemesh niret al ha'aretz. If you go on to areas
where
the property is built, you will think it's nightfall. But if you stand by the beach, and as Manu Shkia, you will see that the light of the sun. אבל לא נראה בכוחו
לארץ. לא נראה בכוחו. Okay, I'm going on those lines. This is the Meiri says. מעט, מעט, עד שתיכנס. ומכל מקום, גדולי הדורות, משתמשים בתחילת שקיעה זו לומר בה שהיא בכלל תוספת חול. That's Ramban, who brings Rabbein Otam. And says that he used the first Shkia to tell you when you can start accepting additional to Shabbat. Not earlier than that. And I tell her, says the Meiri, once it's set until the stars come out, that's Safek Yom, Safek Laila. That's already Safek Chashecha. You can't accept Shabbat then. It's too late. Meiri writes like that. Now go back to Shulchan Aruch Shein Niret, which is the Lashon of the Ramban. Now I understand why he changed the Lashon. En Niret Al Haaretz, where I'm standing, there's no rays. Well, you could be seen there. Now if we say that way, and read the Tosfot, and read the other Tosfot, you will see that the Tosfot never said the two shkiot. Had he said the two shkiot, I'd look for another shkia. But he never said that. Yeah? What did he say? Yeah? Says the Tosfot, I'll read it out to you. Ve'omer Rabbeinotam, the Hatam in Psachim, where it says 72 minutes, maybe it's talking about Tchilat Shkia. Didn't say Shkia Rishona. Tchilat Shkia. What does Tchilat mean? The beginning process of the Shkia. Acha, yeah, ve'acha, and here Shabbat, it says only 13 and a half minutes, mishetishka hachama, misof Shkia, achal shenichnesa chama ve'ovi arakia. Don't ask me the lashon of ovi, I'll explain to you what ovi means. Yeah? Whether they knew the world was round or flat, it's a different ovi, where the sun goes exactly after it sets. Yeah? Because Chachmei Israel used to hold that the sun goes back above the heavens and goes back to the beginning, yeah? It's all an illusion what we seem to understand. Chachmei Umot Olam hold that the sun goes underneath, yeah? Sets. But they still didn't know. It's not so clear that they knew the world was round. It's just the sun sets at the bottom. Anyway, the Zohar clearly writes that. So I couldn't read Rabbeinotam Psachim. Again, I will read you out Rabbeinotam Psachim. It's in four places Rabbeinu Tosfot brings Rabbeinotam. In Psachim he writes, ויש לומר, דהכה קמה מתחילת שקיעה, דהיינו משעה שמתחלת החמה להיכנס, מתחלת החמה להיכנס, and it's not gone in, it's still here. And there it's סוף שקיעה. So Rabbeinu Tam everywhere viewed his opinion again. So I'm saying, people who want to be lenient like Rabbeinu Tam on Erev Shabbat, you get it to Safek Chilul Shabbat, it's not Vada Chilul Shabbat. Safek Skila Evil. So you have to make sure. You may hear from other sectors of Chassidim or this, whether you can accept, you should know it's problematic. And we all know this famous story of the Satmar Rebbe when he came to Eretz Yisrael, and Satmar is known for keeping Rabbeinu Tam, even the Kula, sons as well. And Satmar Rebbe came to Eretz Yisrael, and there was a great rabbi, Chacham Sadka Hussein, yeah? And he heard that he went to the mikveh. It wasn't exactly after sunset, it was after the Kabbalat Shabbat of Yerushalayim, but it was close there. Let's not go into details to what happened. The story was that Chacham Sadka Hussein, yeah, was the Talmid of the Ben Ishchai. He heard about it, he got very upset. How can the Satmar come and do things in Eretz Yisrael against the custom here, against the Geonim? So he took Ramot Chaliyahu with him. Now remember, Satmar Rebbe speaks fluent Yiddish, Rav Sadka Hussein fluent Jewish Arabic. They can communicate in Lushna Kaidish, yeah? But it's not that simple. He took Ramot Chaliyahu as a translator, yeah, to be able to talk.
So he went, Chamsatel Hussein sat next to the Satmar and started shouting, started telling him, can't do this, this is Yerushalayim. Now when Kerem Amot Chiliyahu to explain it, he said it in a much softer way, in a much pleasant way. Chamsatel Hussein poked him and told him, no, say it the way I'm telling you. don't change. He said, you didn't like the Geonim. You can't do anything like that otherwise. The Satmar Rebbe heard that. Says, from now on, in Yerushalayim, we do like the Minag Yerushalayim. What we do back home is something else. Each one follows his minagim, or his way of understanding. And Bemet, I'm telling you, my way of interpreting Rabbeinu Tam, I've seen it in the Bnei Tzion, which is about 100 years ago. I've seen it, Rav Yitzchak Barda brings this. But I only saw this after I worked this out, when I was learning. So therefore I can say it's not in the name. But furthermore, you should know that the mainstream don't learn like I've explained. Mishnah Berurah doesn't learn like I've explained. Mishnah Berurah anyway holds you should be machmi like the Vilna Gaon, like the Geonim, who hold not like Rabbeinu Tam. So anyway, it makes no difference, the halacha. Because even the Mishnah Berurah says, you mustn't be lenient upon coming Shabbat and do a chas v'shalom any melacha after Shkia. Okay? 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock.